You're listening to Lace Up with your host VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hey, y'all, this is that time of year, man, the most exciting time of the year for me, man. It is Christmas season, man. It's right around the corner. Yes, man, Christmas is my favorite holiday. We are now just 10 days away, which is crazy, man. I feel like December just started. We're already halfway through the month. But yeah, Christmas is 10 days away, man. I hope y'all have been on top of this thing, man, and been out there getting your Christmas shopping done, getting it out of the way, because the stores are going to be crazy. The mall is going to be insane, especially today, tomorrow, all the way up until Christmas Eve, because you know you got the last minute people that want to go. I don't know how y'all do it. If that is you, I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean no harm, but I just don't know how you do it going on Christmas Eve to Christmas shop. But you know, if that's something that you're comfortable with, have at it by all means. But man, it's gonna be crazy these next 2 weeks, man, leading up into Christmas. But again, I hope everybody's in the Christmas spirit. I hope y'all got y'all tree up, your lights up. Something, man, get in that Christmas spirit, man. This is a wonderful time of year. I've been watching Christmas movies every single day since December started. Really, I kind of started like the end of November, but literally every night of this month, been watching Christmas movies, been listening to Christmas music. That started after Thanksgiving. So, you know, I had to pull out the Christmas playlist, man. And I told y'all on the last episode, my favorite Christmas album, man. I think I told y'all. If I didn't, it's the Christmas album by Boys to Men, man. That is definitely one of my favorites. Well, my favorite is, I should say, Christmas album. And, you know, Let It Snow being my favorite Christmas song. But yeah, if you haven't listened to Boys to Men Christmas album, I'm trusting that a lot of y'all have already. But the Christmas Interpretations by Boys to Men, man. Go ahead and hit play on that. You will not be disappointed. And then, look, can't forget about Luther. Look, every year, every Christmas. Look, there's a lot of good Christmas songs, man. So, again, I hope everybody's in the Christmas spirit. I know that there's a lot of different sales and different things going on. So, man, take advantage of that. Look, use Amazon to y'all advantage now. Trust me, I got stuff, you know, coming in, getting shipped, coming on time. Use that to your advantage, too. But yeah, look, I could go on and on about Christmas all day, but we got some good stuff to talk about, man. So I just wanted to go ahead and jump into things, man, because, again, you know, it's a few things that we have to unpack since we last spoke, man. Obviously, you know, the college football playoff matchups have been set. Michigan is number one. You got Washington at two. You got Texas at three, and Alabama makes it in at number four. Yeah, a lot of people are obviously unhappy about, you know, the results of the committee's decision. You know, I get it, especially if you're a Florida State fan, and you know they went undefeated. And, you know, 13-0, you expected that they would have been the ones that were selected to be in that fourth spot. But again, I tell everybody this, you know, that I talk to, you know, the way that you look matters in those conference tournament games, right? The way that you look matters. So looking at Florida State, man, winning 16-6, they had a third string quarterback in the game. He threw for only, what, 55 yards. The defense, you know, stepped up and made a play and, you know, really made plays throughout that game to really help them hold on to a win. But you just saw that, and it's like you don't want to see another TCU situation. I mean, we just didn't. Nobody wanted to see that. I mean, I'm sorry, but Alabama like Kirk Herbstreit said, man, Alabama's just the better team. You know, undefeated or not, man, the ACC is not a stronger conference. It's not as strong of a conference as the SEC is. And even I get it. Like I said, they're 13-0. I would be mad too if I was a Florida State fan. They have every right to be. But I think that all of this, the governor suing the committee and all this extra stuff, like, stop. Like, they need to stop all of that. This is nonsense, man. I mean, I'm getting tired of getting on social media each and every day and seeing something about how they're demanding to be to get explanations from, you know, the committee, and demanding to hear about what's going on, that conversations that were had when making a decision, and they're demanding to be what put into the playoff or some, all this crazy stuff that's going on right now. And you know, it's just, it's pitiful. It's really pitiful to sit there and see that. So, you know, let go of it, grow up. You know, if they feel like they were supposed to be there, look, you get a matchup against Georgia in the Orange Bowl. Go right ahead and prove to everybody why y'all should have been in the fourth spot. If you're so sure that you should have been in that fourth spot, go beat Georgia. And we'll see what happens. And look, before I go any further, I'm not letting Georgia fans off easy at all. Because I remember all this stuff that y'all was talking about Alabama all week. People coming up to me asking me, oh, how much is Georgia going to beat Alabama by on Saturday? Jalen Milroe is not going to have a chance, stand a chance against Georgia's defense. He hasn't seen a defense like this. Bama, you know, they're not going to be able to have an answer for what Georgia does offensively. And Mike Bobo is just an excellent play call and all this stuff. All of this on and on and on and on and stuff. How about Alabama just won the SEC championship against the Georgia Bulldogs? How about that? Where's everybody now? I mean, it's been so quiet at work. My phone has been quiet. Nobody's wanting to answer the phone. Y'all thought I was going to let y'all off the hook? Absolutely not. People were trying, Nick Saban telling him his time was coming to an end. His time was up at the beginning of the year. This Alabama team, I could see them having 3 to 4 losses. All this crazy stuff that y'all, all this noise that y'all were talking at the beginning of the year. And now look where Alabama is, 11-1 SEC champions with a chance to go to a national championship. I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything better than what I saw, man, on Saturday. I know that, you know, just dissecting the SEC championship game, you know, yeah, it was a dogfight. I mean, you got two heavyweights going up against each other, as it usually is when Alabama and Georgia face off against each other. But Alabama did an excellent job of being able to control the line of scrimmage. I think that, you know, being able to hold Georgia to under 100 rushing yards in the way that they were able to contain what's their strongest, you know, abilities running the football, if you ask me, they were able to lock that up. And that helped make Carson Beck and that offense one-dimensional. I think that, you know, they did an excellent job. I think Milroe, you know, obviously started off a little slower in the game, but as the game went on, continued to get better, continued to make plays, continued to stay poised, stay calm, be a leader. The things that we've seen him continue to build on throughout this year, each and every week, game after game, practice after practice. And this is a guy who was, and people like to say, oh yeah, he was benched in yeah, okay. I'm still looking at that situation more so. We were playing UCF early in the year, I mean South Florida, and Saban wanted to see what else we had with the other two quarterbacks. I don't think he just looked at Milroe and was like, oh, this isn't my guy. It was more so, hey, you know, Milroe, he had his game against Texas. He played the whole game. Let's see what we got in the other guys. I mean, and even then, you know, call it benched, whatever. You could say he was benched, whatever. But being able to be the leader that he was and support his teammates when he could have very easily checked out. But he stood in and he supported them. And I'm very, very proud of the way that he's grown in the role and as a leader. And, you know, just announced that he's coming back for his senior season, which is no surprise at all. But yeah, I mean, Bama did their thing. Don't ever try Nick Saban, Georgia fans. Y'all do this every single year. Y'all were so sure that y'all were going three-peat. But look where you are now. Look where you are now. 29-0, we're getting three-peat, and nobody's going to be able to stop it. Look, people forget. Kirby Smart was 1-4, now 1-5 against Nick Saban. Like, let's not forget. Don't get this twisted. Always remember who the GOAT is. Roll Tide. All right. Now that I got that out of the way. Michigan, Alabama, Washington, Texas, man. Matchups. Michigan and Alabama facing off in the Rose Bowl. Washington and Texas facing off in the Sugar Bowl. I'm not going to dive super deep into these because we still got a couple of weeks until the matchups are played on New Year's Day. So do want to, you know, reserve some of the commentary and my thoughts and my comments for, you know, the next couple of shows as we're dissecting the ins and outs of the game and talking about X factors, talking about keys to victory as we analyze each matchup of the playoff, man. But, you know, just first look at it, you know, I looking at the Alabama-Michigan matchup, you know, everybody's looking at this and, you know, Michigan, these are two historic programs, obviously. You know, Michigan priding themselves on their offensive line, being able to just push people around, line up and run the football and pretty much let McCarthy kind of just manage it, you know, hit a few throws here and there, but their primary bread and butter is running the football with Blake Corum. I do not think that Michigan is going to be able to just line up the football and just run it against Alabama. That actually plays more into Alabama's advantage than it does for Michigan, even with them putting seven linemen on the line. I mean, Alabama is very stout against the run, especially if you're just going to line up and just go single back or I formation and think you're going to run the football. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You may get a runner here, you know, a nice little run here or there, but it's just not going to happen throughout four quarters of a football game against Alabama. So they're going to force J.J. McCarthy to have to beat him with their arm, with his arm. And I just don't, you know, I personally don't see that being something that Michigan is just going to change their offense into pass happy after they've just been running the football, you know, all year. I mean, they'll take their shots. I'm sure they'll try to pass it, but they're going to try to establish that running game. And I think Alabama will be able to take advantage of that. And I think that Jalen Milroe, being the guy that he is, having, you know, facing a Michigan defense who hasn't seen a player like him, who hasn't played against a player like him all year, and even a team like Alabama at all, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they respond, because they look scared. I mean, you saw it even with the announcement that they were playing against Alabama when it got announced. I mean, they stood up, they looked scared, they thought they was going to get a cakewalk in that first matchup against Florida State. No. Michigan, y'all ain't played nobody all year except Ohio State. I give you that. You beat Ohio State. But up until that point, no competition at all. So now, we'll see what y'all are really about. We will see what y'all are really about. But again, I Michigan has opened up what is a 2.5-point favorite, which is wild to me, but I get it. I mean, I almost prefer, I like Alabama being the underdog, actually. So I'll take that. Hey, I'm cool with that. Let Alabama be the underdog in this game. But I'm very confident in what Alabama brings to the table and the way that offense can score. And like people have been saying, man, I don't know how Michigan's going to get to 30 points. They're going to have to they're going to have to score 30 or more. So, you know, I just don't know how they're going to do it. So, again, I'll continue to, you know, keep building on that that game. And in the next game, I'm going to talk about briefly as well over the next couple of weeks. Now, Texas and Washington, that's another, you know, interesting matchup. Obviously, we got Michael Penix Jr. Versus that Texas defense, man, who's pretty well against the run. But you know, Washington's pretty pass happy offense. So it'll be a great challenge for their defense, especially with Michael Penix back there taking the deep shots that he does. And then you got Quinn Ewers. I don't think that he'll have much trouble against Washington's defense just because, I mean, it's the Pac-12. Pac-12 doesn't really play defense like that. But, you know, this does have potential to be a shootout. Could very well be a shootout. But, you know, the way Steve Sarkisian has this offense and the way that they've just continued to evolve and grow throughout the year and his ability to really mix up the playbook and confuse defenses, it's a sight to see, man. And you know, I'm really, really, really hoping for an Alabama-Texas rematch in the national championship game because I need that get back. Bama needs that get back because everybody, the committee, I'm so happy that they saw, you know, with Alabama getting in after knocking off the number one team in the nation. I'm happy that they finally, after every ranking that they had left Alabama sitting there at number 8, finally moved them up. Finally. So I'm really, really, really hoping after they held that week 2 loss over Alabama's head that we get another rematch. We get a rematch of Alabama, Texas, and national championship. First time they'd be rematching since 2009 when Colt McCoy and Greg McElroy and those guys faced off. And we all remember what happened with Colt McCoy being knocked out of that game early. But that'd be a rematch. So excited, hoping to get that. But yeah, those are my thoughts on the college football playoff, man. Excited for the matchups and looking forward to it. And bowl season is kicking off this weekend. We got a few bowl games, the smaller bowl games coming on. So, you know, tune in for that, obviously. And, man, get ready for a lot of college football coming up, man. It's exciting. Definitely exciting. Let's shift gears, man, for a minute and talk about, you know, the NFL. You know, obviously questioning it right now. You know, who's the best team in the NFL, man? It's a lot of movement that's been happening, man. A lot of, you know, some teams that were starting off hot, now they're kind of cooling off, man. And so now, looking at where we stand currently with 4 weeks left in the season, you know, who could we say is the best team in the NFL right now? And me personally, I'm looking at the San Francisco 49ers and I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens. These are two teams. You know, obviously I love the Philadelphia Eagles and I still think that they're, one of the best teams, as well. You got throw them in the mix. I mean, look at Miami, but you see, you know, the way the Eagles have struggled. Looking at Dallas too, everybody gets happy about Dallas every year. But you just look at, you know, the way the Eagles have struggled the past couple weeks, man. You had, Deebo Samuel, if the 49ers just really destroy them in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. Then you got the Cowboys put a pretty nice beating on them as well. But, you know, they did go through a gauntlet in their schedule the past 6 games, and they came out 4-2. So, you know, that does speak a lot about that team. So I do think that the Eagles is definitely right there. For sure. So still for me, I'm looking at the 49ers, the Ravens, and the Eagles. Those are, you know, my three teams that I really, you know, I really like those teams. And I'm standing on the fact that I think that I'm hoping that we get a Ravens and Eagles Super Bowl because that's still a matchup that I would love to see. But yeah, man, I look at a team like San Francisco and, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, being the manager that he is, not making mistakes, making the right football play. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, these guys playing at a high level, the defense, the way that they're playing. And then, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. And then you got the Baltimore Ravens, man, the same thing. Looking at this Ravens team, man, I mean, you talk about well, first and foremost, the San Francisco 49ers, let me backtrack real quick. Second in the league in, you know, total yards, third in passing, third in rushing, you know. So, I mean, and they're number one in turnovers. So, you know, that's a solid team right there. And then you look at the Baltimore Ravens, man, a team in Baltimore that has a really great defense. They have a a really good offense as well. Number one in rushing in the league, averaging 157 yards a game on the ground. Second in the league in yards allowed. So defensively, they're right behind the Cleveland Browns, who are number one in the NFL with that. The Baltimore Ravens are also number one in sacks. So a team that can really get after you, right? So I'm excited because both of these teams are actually going to be matching up against each other on Christmas Day. That's right. We get the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco on Christmas Day. I cannot wait to see that matchup. That's going to be something exciting. And even after that, you get the Dolphins and the Ravens, right? So, you know, these are some pivotal matchups that are going to determine some seeding. Still got a lot of teams that are alive when it comes to the playoff race. In the especially in the NFC, there's like 13 teams in total that are live for a playoff spot. And in the AFC, you got some teams there. I don't think they quite have 13, but they have a good bit of teams as well. So, you know, interested to see how these last 4 weeks turn out, and we'll continue to monitor that and watch it closely. But I do think that, you know, and I'll end with this, looking at teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, man, I look at a team like them and the struggles that they've had this year. It just does not look like the same Kansas City Chiefs team. You know, Mahomes is still Mahomes, but, you know, the struggles that they've had, which we're going to get into in just a second, man, it's really starting to show. And I don't think this is a team that's going to be getting home field advantage in the playoffs like Pat Mahomes is used to. I think that this is the year that Pat Mahomes is going to have to go on the road and win a football game or two. And we'll see, you know, what they're made of, because they have not had to play a road playoff game since Pat Mahomes has been there in the playoffs, has taken that team to the playoffs. They have not played one away playoff game. AFC championship game has always been running through Kansas City. So, speaking about Kansas City in particular, man, I wanted to speak on this pretty briefly, because, you know, there was a situation that happened in the game against the Buffalo Bills where Kadarius Toney, this is this past weekend, Kadarius Toney lined up offsides. They ran a trick play, which was a well-designed trick play, threw the ball to Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce kind of loops around and throws it back to Kadarius Toney, and Kadarius Toney scores with, like, I think it was like a minute and a half or something like that left in the game. Kadarius Toney is called for being offsides prior to that play. Pat Mahomes was not approving of that call, very pissed off about it, yelled at the refs on the sidelines, also took it upon himself afterwards to take it a step further and say that, you know, he thought that it was ridiculous. And, you know, the fact that they didn't get notified before the play happened, that he was lined up offsides. Andy Reid even took it a step further and said it was embarrassing. They said that, you know, Pat Mahomes was saying that, you know, you hate to have a game like that decided on a penalty, X, Y, Z, all of this stuff, right? All of this crying, all the back and forth. Stop. Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes should be completely ashamed of themselves. First and foremost, the referees got this right. I don't say this often, right? I don't say this often because I always think that referees screw up a lot, right? But there is no way you're going to sit up here and look at that film and tell me that the referees got that call wrong. He was lined up offsides. It is not the referee's responsibility to tell Kadarius Toney that he is lined up offsides. As a wide receiver, your number one priority is to look over there and ask the referee, am I off or am I on? That is your responsibility as a wide receiver. This goes back to peewee football. If you've ever played wide receiver, if you ever played football, you know the wide receiver on your team is supposed to get up to that line, check with the ref. Look to the left, look to the right, check with the referee whether if he's off or he's on. That is not the referee's responsibility. And to go so far as to say that you don't want to, you should be notified. No, you should not be. He is a professional athlete who knows what his responsibilities are, and he did not do that. So that's the result that you got. and Pat Mahomes. Do not sit up here and talk about a game should not be decided by a penalty like that. Because the last time I checked, you won the last Super Bowl that you won because of a penalty. A ticky-tack penalty. Was he holding him a little bit? Yeah. Yeah, he was holding him. You don't make that call like that in the Super Bowl. The end of a great Super Bowl. And the way that that ended, you got a Super Bowl ring off of a penalty being called at the end of the game. I don't want to hear anything about that. I don't want to hear him open his mouth and talk about anything about a play ending on a game ending on a penalty, because you reaped the benefits of that just last year. So stop that. We're gonna close that, end that narrative, stop that madness right now. We're not about to go there. Especially there's been plenty of games that I've watched where the Chiefs have gotten the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the referees. So to sit up there and say that, you know, make the comments that they made. Yeah, I know that you're frustrated. I know that it was a big game against Buffalo. You want to win. It's a lot on the line. But the fact of the matter is your offense is struggling. The receivers are dropping the ball. Travis Kelce is dropping the ball. He's your number one target. I think he even fumbled the ball, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it was a game against the Bills, or it was either that game or the game prior to that. I want to say he had a fumble in either that last game or the game before that. One of those two. It was against the Eagles when they played against Philadelphia. Travis Kelce fumbled in that game. So, and I think they have, 33 drop passes as an offense all year. I mean, how about looking at yourselves in the mirror, right? Let's do some self-reflection, because the problem isn't the refs. The offense isn't in sync. Pat Mahomes is putting the ball there where it needs to be. I'm not saying that he's not doing his job, but the receiver's not catching the ball. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I definitely think, again, this is the year that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be on the road, having to win a game or two on the road. And I think that the AFC Championship will more than likely be going through Baltimore. That's just my thoughts on that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, let's shift gears to one last thing I wanted to talk about, man, before we get out of here. Don't want to keep y'all long, man. I know y'all got to get out there and get that shopping done, finish that Christmas shopping, because I know y'all are not finished. So don't lie to me. Don't lie to me and say that you finished your Christmas shopping, because I didn't even finish mine. But, yeah, one last thing, man. Wanted to speak very briefly on the Draymond Green situation. So we all saw the video with Draymond Green in the last game against with the Warriors playing against the Phoenix Suns, where Nurkic and Draymond Green were kind of, you know, battling for some position on the court or whatever, trying to go after the ball. Draymond Green turns around and completely punches Nurkic in the jaw. I mean, it couldn't have looked more deliberate than it did on tape. And I'm like, man, there's something seriously wrong with Draymond Green. Since that happened, Draymond Green was obviously ejected from the game. I think that it was his third ejection so far this year. And I want to say it's like six or more like technical fouls or flagrant fouls that he's had. We saw the incident that he just had with choking Rudy Gobert. And, you know, he has been suspended indefinitely by the league, which I thought was well deserved. I know a lot of people are saying that they have a problem with the way that people are talking about him, as if he has a problem, if he has an issue. He does have an issue. Anybody who does not think Draymond Green has an issue, y'all have a problem. Seriously, because you cannot sit up here and tell me that that's normal, because it's not normal. Draymond Green is out there playing MMA. He could seriously injure somebody, and that's not basketball. What you see Draymond Green doing is not basketball at all. It's not basketball. And he needs to take the time to really evaluate, you know, himself. I don't know what he's dealing with internally outside of basketball. It could be some things going on. But you're talking about a guy who almost broke his own teammate's jaw in Jordan Poole He's kicked other players in the midsection. He kicked LeBron. He's tackled players. He's done a lot of stuff. I mean, we're watching the modern day Detroit Piston bad boys all in one person in Draymond Green. And you know, Rasheed Wallace even came out and said that, you know, he grew up around the Pistons locker room, man. So he saw a lot. He was exposed to a lot of things. And, you know, he heard the way that they talk, the way that they, you know, the language that they use, you know, he was exposed to a lot. You know, being at a younger age like that, that can, you know, affect you. And that's not to make any excuse, but, you know, that you got that coupled with whatever else he's going on dealing with outside of basketball. He needs to really come to terms with that, like that he has a problem and they need to address that. And like you said, like Steve Kerr, like Kevin Durant, like everybody said, like, I hope he gets the help he needs. I really do. Because there's a serious issue there. You can't look at that again. You cannot look at that and say that that's basketball. And I do have a problem with people coming at Steph Curry the way that they have, saying like, you know, where's your leadership skills? I mean, what makes people think that Steph Curry is not out there telling Draymond that he's not doing something right? I mean, yeah, I guess they want him to jump into Draymond Green's face and do that. Look, Steph Curry's not trying to get hit in his face. I mean, I don't think Draymond would do that, but I'm really making a joke. But dang, like, y'all don't think Steph Curry talks to Draymond? I mean, questioning his leadership, you know, that's kind of, I don't know. I mean, it can be interpreted in different ways. Maybe they're not necessarily questioning leadership. It's just the way that it's the way that the media kind of frames it's almost comes off like you're questioning his leadership. And it's like, what do you expect Steph Curry to do with a teammate as high strung as Draymond Green? I don't know what you expect him to do. I really don't. But again, I hope Draymond gets the help he needs. And I think that the league did the right thing by suspending him indefinitely so that he can take the time away from basketball to be able to do that. Because he's not hurting anybody but his teammates and his coaches. So, yeah. But, hey, that's all I have for y'all, man. Look, I appreciate y'all giving me some of your time during this holiday season to talk some sports, man. As always, look, y'all be safe out there. Get y'all shopping done. Get those gifts wrapped. Get in that holiday spirit. Get the Christmas music going. Get the Christmas movies playing. And enjoy this weekend, man. I'll be back next week to talk some more sports. Y'all have a blessed one. I'm out. Peace.